Hey everyone, this is Sally FT.
And this is Heaton Cha.
And in today's episode of the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about how to do diligence with people and about people.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh shit, we got it!
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
We got inspired about this from the prior episode where we talked about investor relationships and how to deal with your investors after you've taken their money. We got into a little bit of a discussion around the quote-unquote negative investors, people that are actively making your business worse and making your life more difficult. And I think during that part of the discussion, the last episode, we realized as the one golden tip that you gave to people in order to prevent that, that founders need to do their due diligence about those investors before taking their money. And I think that's when, for both of us, we thought, oh, we need to make an episode about this because it's such an important tool as a founder that is really underutilized. I see so many founders not do their due diligence about people.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite topics. I have to say I've been a victim to this, if you want to call it that, or I've been, I have hired people, I have gotten investors, I have gotten in partnerships and things like that without actually doing real diligence. And most of the time it worked out fine for me, but the few times where it didn't were the times when I was like, okay, I should have done more homework about this person. And I realized, once I figured that out and I realized it wasn't that hard, I started doing it so much more. Yeah. So yeah, let's talk about this.
Yeah. So, let's talk about the concept of due diligence. I mean, what does it really mean? It doesn't mean that much other than you want to do a little bit of research to figure out if you can find information about this person before you get into business with them. And information either that encourages your initial impression and kind of double down on that, or that raises red flags that you want to explore further with that person before going into business with them. And you should do due diligence before hiring people. And you should definitely do due diligence before you co-found something with somebody and before you take money with them. In any kind of, even when you partnership, in any kind of relationship, you should go out and obviously you can do some research online, but I think what we're going to zero in on is reach out to people that have had this type of relationship with this person and find out what their experience has been. Good, bad, ugly, anything in between, to learn from that past history, to give you more information about what you can expect from this person in the future. And you can do these kind of reference calls or due diligence calls. You can ask for them and get, you know, references or get connected with certain people, right? If it's an investor, as the example that we discussed prior, you could tell that investor, hey, we would love to talk to two or three founders that you've recently invested in to see what their experience has been working with your firm or working with you individually and directly. And then it could kind of get those connections handed to you from that person. And you can do it indirectly. You can just go and research and find out who is this investor invested in and ping a few of these founders and say, hey, we're talking to investor XYZ. We're thinking about taking their money. I saw that you raised money from them, whatever, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, a month ago. Can I get just 10 minutes of your time and get some experience? I mean, we even did this once in a lease. Like we were looking at an office space and we weren't sure about the building. We weren't sure about a few things with the landlord. And we just looked at the list of tenants and we saw another startup that was actually sold to $1 billion to Google a few years ago. And we sent the founder an email and said, hey, we're thinking about renting office space. You've been there for 2 years. Can you give us a few pieces of advice? And he gave us some really good advice just in email back and forth and gave us some background information about the experience in that building and what we should or shouldn't do and expect or shouldn't expect. So you can do it directly or you could do like these whatever they're called, black background checks or something like that. Something that you just reach out without asking the person you're dealing with to connect you with these people.
Yeah, that's the easiest way, right? And you also don't want to limit yourself to that way. Try to find, like, so in the investor example, try to find people that have been funded by them that might have had what you might think is a negative experience, not necessarily with them, but in their startup. So one of my favorite things to do is if the investor hasn't introduced you to, you know, somebody who's actually went out of business, acqui-hired, or, you know, something that would be more of a startup failure, for lack of a better word, you could just reach out to those founders and just ask them, hey, I'm considering taking investment from this person. I know you had a certain experience with your company. I would love to talk to you for 5 or 10 minutes about it. And that can be super valuable. So I wouldn't just limit yourself to the introductions you get from the investor or anybody. I would also go out and find your own people to talk to.
Absolutely. And then let's talk a little bit about both scenarios. When you get introductions or references for your due diligence from the, let's take the investor or the business partner, the future employee, when they say, yes, I'm going to connect you to these two or three people, to me, watching who they chose, who they pick to connect you with is a first tell. Like it's not just when I talk to them that's not the only piece of data. I even just look at the ones that they're introducing us to. When we ask employees, future potential employees for references, we do specifically tell them, hey, give us 3 references and tell us why you've chosen these ones. We want to understand the idea behind it. And then when I look at the references they give me, that's the moment I start judging, right? So if somebody gives me 3 references from the same company, which is 3 years ago, but no references from more recent companies they work for, why? If they only give me references from people that were their peers versus there's no reference in there that there's anybody who was their manager, all that is telling me, it's not a KO criteria, but it's the beginning of letting me know, why is this person only giving me this very skewed, group of people to talk to, right? Why can I only talk to people that they worked with 5 years ago as peers? There's no manager there. There's nobody who worked for them. There's nobody from any of these other companies. That usually raises a red flag or is something that I try to explore and find out more about why. This could be the same thing for investors. If they only get you in touch with specific people that they've invested in many, many years ago in a past fund or that they've just invested in the past 3 months, but no founders that they've been working for in a longer period of time, those are tells for me. Those are at least red flags or things that I want to find out more about because they're telling me something about the way you choose your references is telling me something about you.
Yeah, I really love that. That's a really good start of your own diligence on the other side, right? Make sure you're thoughtful about the intros you make and that there are people that would vouch for you. So I think, this is the other big piece of this for me. It's like when you talk to people, whether someone has given you the reference to talk to them or you found it yourself, oftentimes it's, not everyone is very direct or very helpful when you ask them, about somebody. So what you want to do, and this is, this comes from a lot of diligence on team members when you're bringing them on. But one thing you want to do is you actually want to ask them about specific scenarios or stories or experiences. For example, if this were an investor, it would be like when and I was talking to a founder, I would ask, when you were going through something hard, can you tell me what your experience was with this investor? Right. And it could be, and in their case, they would go and start talking about, oh, we were about to run out of money or we had this really difficult decision to make. And, so-and-so, was it this way. And sometimes you have to get underneath it, right? They might be like, oh yeah, I emailed and they were a little bit helpful, and then you would want to ask, well, what do you mean by a little bit helpful? What did they actually help you with? So you want to dig in, do a little bit of getting to the sort of bottom of kind of the feedback. So that's one big tactic. I would say that if it's an employee or some kind of relationship like that, where you're trying to hire somebody, you usually will be able to find more stories because you either have a manager or you have a coworker that you're talking to in most cases. A manager could be someone higher up, a couple layers or whatever, depending on what's going on. And in those cases, it's gold because what you can say is, tell me about a time when you disagreed. And I'd love to understand how John, if we were, asking about John reacted in that situation. Those are the kind of things you want to do. You don't want to just rely on what they tell you. You want to actually ask them questions about situations and get their feedback and then dig in deeper.
Yeah, I love that. And also, you need to read between the lines, right? So so a reference call, if somebody connects you with somebody, if it's kind of an active reference, this person better be a strong reference. Again, for me, if they're kind of a weak reference, if they're kind of like so-so about them, that's a no-go. And I found this a lot of times when I did reference calls for investors, that founders didn't want to out, especially the founders that had taken money, they didn't want to tell me, this investor sucks. They're going to be horrible to work with. Please don't take their money, right? It's not quite something they were comfortable saying, but they would just be very timid in their enthusiasm about that investor. They would be like, this investor, you know, we've taken their money. He's very well-meaning. We found him to be, you know, very enthusiastic and wanting to be very involved, sometimes a bit too much, but we still always appreciated it. And you know, if the line of statements they make about this investor keeps in that level of very temperate enthusiasm and kind of things that are not quite negative but also not positive, to me, that is like a founder screaming at me, please don't take their money. They're really difficult to work with, right? So somebody needs to be somewhat enthusiastic. And not if it's a reference that comes out of the blue and you just reach out to somebody that might tell you, hey, I didn't work that much with that investor, or I don't know, we were working with their firm but with another partner or something like that. But if an investor says, here's somebody you should talk to if you want to get a reference about me, and that person is not somewhat strongly positive, that's a negative in my book. So you want to start reading a little bit between the lines. I love your example with like asking for specific scenarios and situations and moments, because sometimes, yeah, people don't want to share too much proactively. One trick or hack, if you want, so that I use, and I mentioned this in a prior episode about hiring and interviewing people for jobs. One game that I play with people when we hire them is that at the end of the hiring process, I'll do a ping pong game where we both try to actively discourage each other from working with each other. So I'll share something that's really a negative about our business and our company. They'll share something that's difficult about themselves. And we go back and forth. And the goal is to share as much honest kind of things about each other that might be a surprise down the line, so that if we can discourage each other from wanting to work together, let's do it now before we start investing in this relationship further. And if we can share honestly so many kind of negatives about each other and we still are excited about working together, it's not a guarantee, but the chances are pretty good that we're not going to be surprised by anything bad that was hidden from us in the future. And people love that game. And usually in the back and forth, they share one or two things they are usually wouldn't share in an interview with me. And I use that. I always use that in the reference calls because it gives people permission to talk about these things. So I'll say, hey, John, when I talked to Bob, Bob said that one of his weaknesses is that when things get really tough, sometimes he might get a little irritated and he might be just vent or be more negative or be a bit more easy to irritate than usual. But that if you know how to handle him in those situations, it's all really harmless, but it's something he wants to work on. I'm wondering, when you were working with him, can you remember a time when he was really irritated where what he mentioned to me comes to mind for you? And how can you explain to me how that was? So what I basically say is I say, Bob told me he has this weakness. Can you tell me more about this weakness? And because they know that Bob spoke about this to me, they feel the permission to actually talk honestly about it. Versus if I just ask them, hey, what's something that Bob sucks at? It's a tough question to ask. People will not be comfortable sharing stories about this because they don't want to backstab the person. And that's totally understandable. So by having some weaknesses that the person shared with me, I can use these in the reference calls to elicit more information about this, to get more stories. And maybe the person says, you know what? Yeah, Bob is, you know, maybe a little bit grumpy, but it was never a problem. I think he's super self-critical about it. That's a different reaction that sometimes or once where somebody was like, yeah, well, I'm glad Bob brought this up because he's a huge asshole when he's like, when things are stressful, and he would come into the office and scream at people. Like, you can get different answers that add a little bit of coloring to this and give you the kind of information to decide, do I really want this person in the company or not? So that's been a hack or a trick that really helps me, is getting a weakness from the person and then using it in a reference call to give people permission to honestly talk about some negatives with me.
Yeah, I really like that. Remember a time thing as well of like, can you remember a time that, you know, this person was this way and giving them a reference from what they said, they're going to feel a lot more comfortable telling you things, right?
Yeah.
It's a really good trick. So what else do we want to talk about? Diligence here.
Yeah. What else can you do? So you obviously you can go online and research people a little bit. You can reach out to people that have worked with them. And then again, I think we glanced over this, but I think it's really important. When you're trying to do due diligence, you really want to talk to people that have had enough time to really have built a relationship with a person you're trying to get more information about. So don't just talk to the last two investments they made in the last 3 months. These people will not have a lot more information than you have. Really reach out to people that have worked. Try to figure out, is there anybody that has raised money twice from this investor or three times from this investor? Is there anybody that has worked with this investor for 5 years or 8 years or 10 years? Is there anybody that has crashed and burned with their investment from this particular investor? Try to get a depth and breadth of founders with very different relationships with this person, a lot of more data than you have. Because again, and that takes a bit more effort, and it's much easier to just reach out to people that have recent relationships with the person you're trying to learn more about. But the unfortunate truth is that if it's very recent, they don't have a lot of information. They just don't know either. And most likely they're going to be skewed to a more positive, outline on this person just because they just recently closed the partnership with them or raised the money from them or hired this person or whatever. Or work for this person. So really try to go back and find people that have a variety of different experiences with this person and hopefully a long-term relationship with this person. That's another tell. If you can't find any person that has been working with them for a long time, that's usually a bad sign to me as well, right? Why can't this person have long-term relationships in the market that they're in? That's usually a bad tell, a bad sign. So try to do that as well. Besides talking to people to do your due diligence, that's the main thing I typically do. Do you do anything else? Do you do any kind of crazy? Oh, one other thing that I would do, maybe not with investors, although I'm not sure about that, but with employees, one thing that we started doing is doing background checks. This sounds so old school. This is not something that we did forever. This is something we started doing once we started using a certain software provider that for all our HR needs that did the background checks automatically. And my co-founder was like, sure, if they do it, let's just do it. If it's just a click of a button, I'm curious. And I think the second or third person we did this with, the background check came back and there was some really disturbing stuff in there. And we were like, holy shit, we'll never offer somebody a job anymore before doing a background check. So a background check is something we do now for employees, at least, before we hire them. It's kind of a standard part of the process, just to be safe, but something we didn't used to do. But is there anything else that you do in the due diligence process?
I really like the background check one, especially as your company grows and scales. So for team members, it's really good. It's surprising how people just don't do basic things online. So whether it's an investor, team member, or whatever, did you actually search them on Google? did you stalk them on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, did you look at their Pinterest board, right? So that stuff is so much easier and so much cheaper from a time perspective of just doing research on somebody online than even talking to somebody about them. It gives you different kinds of data, but a lot of people have put a lot of stuff out there. You can figure out even if their attitude, match up with the kind of culture in your company and things like that really easily. So I would highly recommend just doing more thorough online research about somebody. I found all kinds of things there. And also it can tell you how they actually communicate in writing online in a lot of cases, whether it's things they've written on blog posts, comments they've made, or anything like that. So I think, if I were to go due diligence, the first step would just be starting to, spend a lot of time online about this person, a lot of time meaning 20 minutes, 30 minutes, which is a lot of time to research this person. And you'll learn a lot of interesting things. And it'll even inform the kind of questions you can ask people you talk to them about, or even them themselves.
Yeah. It's the basics that can make a big difference. We had somebody a few months ago that was in the interviewing process in the early stages, And he followed me on Snapchat and I followed him back. And then I saw just a few snaps from him where he was on vacation on some beach in Miami. And all of his snaps were just super douchey, mean-spirited things about other people on the beach. And especially the people that were not in tip-top shape and looked like, you know, whatever, models, he would make just really douchey comments about all these people being ugly and fat and this and that. And I was like, whoa, all right, this person needs to be deleted from my Snapchat. And then this is not somebody that's going to fit into our culture, not somebody we want to work with every day. So yeah, just looking for somebody on Twitter, on Instagram, on a bunch of these social outlets, it's surprising how people will pretend to be a certain person in the interview in their professional life, and then they publicly will be something totally different, or something that just shows that they might be great people, but not right for your company, not right to work with you or your team. So spending 5 to 10 minutes or doing a little bit of online research can pay big dividends in avoiding big mistakes. And this is not just for employees. Investors are people too. Business partners are people too. Pretty much everybody you deal with is a human being.